Okay, we're going to reconvene back into open session. Mr. Crawford, would you please lead us in the pledge?
If you would allow me. The pledge, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, there are no announcements out of closed session. I'll turn it over to Tamara Gresham, our MCAA student representative to the board.
Lyndhurst March School Board Report. The Sadie Hawkins dance planned by the sophomores on March 22nd went smoothly. The Battle of the Sexes rally went great. Many people enjoyed it. 8 students from Gridley High came to view the rally for ideas, and they were amazed. The sports team was also recognized during the rally. The school-wide cleanup on March 16th went good. Many people came to support. There was also a free barbecue for those who came. Food Day is on March 26th. Many clubs and classes will be selling food as a fundraiser. The junior class and the academic decathlon club are currently doing candy fundraisers. The junior class is currently advertising for prom, which will be held in May. A president's council meeting will be on March 28th. There will also be a rummage sale on April 13th in the Les Schwab parking lot in Linda. Donations are accepted. The Marysville March Board Report. We had our very first Kindness Week in February. We had dress-up days all week and had a booth out at lunch advertising, making kindness plates that spelled out Kindness Week as a new feature in our yearbook. This month is March Madness, which means we have a dress-up day every day, which gives kids a chance to express themselves. Some samples of dress-up days are Mustache Monday, Tie-Dye Tuesday, Workout Wednesday, Pirate Day, and Fedora Friday. Sadie Hawkins was March 22nd. The theme was neon, and it was located at ASYCC across the street, all sponsored by sophomore class. Food Day was March 15th. It's our third one of the year. Classes and clubs sell food as fundraisers. And the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts School Board Report. Fundraising. This month, the 10th grade class has been selling Jamba Juice at lunch to raise money for their class. On April 30th, MCAA will have a school-wide fundraiser known as the Walk for the Arts. Drama Productions. The advanced drama class performed Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream this past weekend. It was a good production and was well attended. The beginning drama class will be performing The Little Mermaid on April 25th through April 28th, and the music department will be presenting musicality on April 12th and 13th as a fundraiser, as well as an opportunity to show off MCAA's student singing voices. Upcoming events. Auditions for students to participate in the spring showcase were today.
Okay, thank you, Tamara. I'd like to ask the board to step down front for our recognitions, please.
Good evening, and at this time I'd like to ask Judy Hart, the principal at Linda Elementary School, to come forward to make her presentations.
Good evening. It is with great honor that I give this award for our community partnership with the Victor Services. We have worked very closely with Victor Services this school year in addressing the emotional and social needs of our students, and that is going to be a part of our presentation to the board. So please come on up and accept this award. We appreciate you and your hard work. Thank you so much. This next A-plus Employee Award goes to Vicki White, Linda School's secretary, who really holds down the fort single-handedly all morning. And The thing that comes to mind for me with Vicki and working with her for now a year and a little bit over a half is that keep calm and carry on. Come on up, Vicki. And our last but not least A-plus Employee Award goes to Kirsten Sweeney. She is a first grade teacher at Linda Elementary School. She has the sheltered English instruction class and does a beautiful job with her first graders. The environment is warm, supportive, collaborative, and very interactive. Come on up, Kirsten.
We'll move on to our school report from Linda Elementary School. Judy Hart.
Okay, good evening, and thank you so much for giving Linda School an opportunity to share a couple of things that we've started to implement this year to provide better service to our students. We're going to have two parts to our presentation. The first part is going to address how we worked with our students in meeting their academic needs, the primary focus being on our ELL students, and then the second part is going to be how we address the emotional social needs of our students. So this year, we began the journey of implementing what was called the WIN program at Linda School. What I need. We learned about this approach from our SCOE consultant, Lois Mendoza, and it was a program in place to address targeted instruction for EL students. Because we have such a large population of EL students at Linda, we felt it would be a good fit for our school. Just some background information. About 42% of the students at Linda School are designated ELL learners, 34% Hmong speaking, and 66% Spanish speaking. Our primary goal was that the students reach English proficiency prior to transitioning to middle school. So the steps that we put in place to achieve our goal, first is we developed an EL leadership team comprised of a teacher from each grade level, our EL facilitator, and administration. We also accessed professional development from SCOE, and that would be Lois Mendoza. She would come in and work with the staff on analyzing CELT data and also explaining the difference between a comprehensive ELD program and an ELA program. We next reviewed student data, which also included CST and district benchmark results. And then we went on a field trip to Main Avenue Elementary in Robles School District in Sacramento and observed their WIN program to see if it would be a good fit for Linda School. What we discovered was that Main Avenue Elementary was quite a bit smaller than Linda School, but we still had the desire to see how we could make this work. So in organizing the WIN program, we had to develop groups based on assessment data. We put together students second and third grade, and then we looked at students fourth through sixth. So there were two different groups that we were working with. We assigned teachers and support providers to groups based on their needs. All of the teachers were designated to give EL instruction, And then we had support providers working with students that might need an extra boost in reading fluency, reading comprehension, and maybe math skills as well. We then had to gather materials to meet those academic needs of the students and then develop a bell schedule and room assignments. So from 8:30 to 9, the WIN program was in place for second and third graders, and from 9 to 9:30, it was in place for grades 4th through 6th. So this is what the WIN implementation looked like. At 8:30, the bell rang, and groups second and third graders moved to their appropriate classrooms for whatever instruction was needed. Gayla Bird, our dropout specialist, worked with a group in reading comprehension. And Paris worked with children in math and basic sight word recognition. And then an ELD classroom, you'll see there, is using one of the EL teaching strategies that was learned in PSYOP, which is heads together to increase student engagement and opportunity to practice the English language. And then at 9 o'clock, the bell rang again, and at that time, grades 4 through 6 would then go through transition, going to their designated classrooms. Indian Education also came on board and worked with students that were within their program. They worked on reading skills and writing, and then another ELD classroom for the older students. And Mrs. Austin also worked with students, and she worked with a higher group and worked with them in what were called literature circles and working on higher thinking skills through questioning strategies. So as you see, we had both support staff and teachers on board, everybody having the same purpose in helping our students. And our EL facilitator, Kathy, working with a group on spelling. RSP teacher, Mrs. Hopper, working with this group on reading fluency. And at this point, we're in the evaluation of our program, deciding what worked, what didn't work, what we'd like to change next year, and just better ways to meet the needs of our kids. We're anxious to look at next year's data, including the CELT information, to find out if it made a difference, how much of a difference, and what we can do to make the program better. Do you have any questions for me regarding the WIN program?
Any questions, comments from the board? No questions or comments.
Doing a great job.
Thank you for all the hard work.
Yes. Well, thank you, and you're welcome. So my partner in crime here, Mrs. Berry, she is our student service coordinator, and she is in charge of accessing supports for kids and also making sure that they're moving along academically and helping them with that emotional, social piece as well. So Michelle's going to come up and introduce the next part.
All right. Good evening. So what we decided to do to access the social and emotional needs of our students at Linda School was collaborate with Victor Community Services, which they've been amazing. And so we started by having collaboration sessions and determining what our students really needed. And there were two areas that we saw that our students and parents really needed our support. So the first area was we developed social skills groups. So students meet once a week on Tuesdays for 45 minutes, and they work on areas such as anger management, impulse control, preventative measures against bullying, and this is just some of the areas. There's many more topics that they work on, and it's exciting to see. I do yard duty every day, and I see the students that go to these social skills groups. I see them using the skills they're learning out on the playground with other students, so it's neat to see that it's actually working. The second area that we wanted to meet the needs of the parents, and so we started something called Open Center. And so every Friday from 8:30 to 10 in 4-week sessions, parents come, and they, these certain, each week, so children, the challenge, that's the first topic that they talk about. But if parents have questions or concerns or they're dealing with something, they can bring those needs on these Fridays and talk with the clinician and the other parents as well. And this has also been really neat to see. We have parents asking about when the next group of classes are going to be. We hear parents talking after school about what they learned in the class that morning. So again, it's exciting to see the partnership that we've made with Victor Community Services, and it's actually working and helping. So our next steps for the future is we want to also bridge this partnership with other additional community services and resources to support our students and their families. So, for example, Harmony Health, Peachtree Clinic, the Toothmobile, Victim Witness, and then keep working on the professional development portion. So do you guys have any questions? Yeah, they've been amazing. They've been fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, no questions or comments? No, thank you very much. Okay, comments from board members? Mr. Miller? Mr. Rex?
Just that Search for Talent at McKinney was a tremendous success, and hopefully McKinney made some funds off of it, did well.
Mr. Fleury?
Thank you for all the sponsors. The MCA put on the play Midsummer Night's Dream, and we saw it on Sunday, and they did a great job. It's, if you've not seen one of those plays, to watch those kids perform. But what is great, we have a school like that, which provides a safe harbor for those kids, some of them that we're not making in other schools. Also, Bernie and I participated in the Distinguished School Visit, and it was interesting because like the reviewer almost tried to talk us into what a great school it was instead of us telling her. Yesterday we counted the ballots statewide at CSBA in Sacramento. We got to go to the new headquarters. And after counting from one end of the state to the other, I appreciate what a good secretary, board secretary we have when I saw the mistakes in other districts throughout the state that we had to throw out. Lisa does a good job, and we're lucky to have her.
Mr. Harris?
No.
Mr. Danable?
No.
Mr. Crawford?
If you haven't received a chance to see the girls Marysville High School softball team, they're just incredible. And then on a sadder note, I went out to Cedar Lane. They lost a staff member. they're going through some times, but they're holding in really well. Other than that, thank you.
Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association, no. Operating Engineers Local Union 3, California School Employees Association 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit, public comments. I have two public comment cards. We'll have ladies first, Colleen Weckman.
Well, it feels like old home week here. I really enjoy seeing all my old friends, and I've been retired now since 2006. It doesn't seem like time could go by that fast, but I only have 3 minutes to talk, so I have to hurry up and get said what I have to say. I'm here, unfortunately, because I feel like I've got some things I need to talk about up in the foothills. I have several grandchildren that live in the foothills, and when I retired, I told Gay earlier today, I remember a comment made in our staff room in 2006 that it, when Alicia School was being taken down, that we would have another school built in 3 years, or we could come knocking on her door. So I'm here to knock on her door, not about Alicia necessarily. I'm real happy to see I want to see a school for Alicia eventually. I hope that does happen. I'm happy about Yuba Gardens. Beautiful school. They've really built that up. But I am very concerned and a little disappointed now at the way the money is being spent in the foothills on the schools that are in our area for our grandchildren. We are seeing a new addition with 7 classrooms for Yuba Feather being built to the tune of, this is hard for me to fathom. I don't quite understand. I did get this report in the mail. It came out, and again, I want to say, let me see, what did I do with my notes here? It looks like when I wanted to show this to Mr. Allgaier, because there was an article in the Appeal back in 2006. I'm kind of backtracking a little. When they were trying to get the bond approved for Measure H and then again later on for Measure P, it was said that this money would be used for, quote, funds will mostly go toward necessary repairs and modernization needed at all schools, but the measure also will pay for new facilities at Foothill Intermediate in Loma Rica to convert it to a 7th through 12th grade school. Allgaier said the conversion would relieve some of the strain of overcrowding at Marysville and Lyndhurst High Schools and provide junior and high schoolers a much closer alternative. Currently, some students have as much as a one-hour commute each way to get to one of the schools. Quote, okay? So that hasn't changed. That is still very much a part of the scenario up there. And what I'm seeing is we've spent $5,786,133 for 55 students at Dobbins, and we've spent $340,460, even more than that. We've spent a lot of money at Dobbins. We've spent a lot of money at Yuba Feather. And we only have 114 students at Yuba Feather. And you're building 7 classrooms there. Are you going to be taking down the old building? Is that the idea? Because when my kids were there back in the 80s, we had 480 students there. Now we have 114, and we've spent $5 million on a school for. I don't understand. I just don't understand the concept. And Dobbins has 55 students with millions of dollars spent on the new gym, and we still don't have a high school. We don't have a high school in the foothills. My concern and my question here is, why wouldn't you have thought about maybe perhaps consolidating those two schools, Dobbins and Yuba Feather, maybe putting, now that you've got such a big classroom going on at Yuba Feather, you've got 7 classrooms with 114 students. That's 17 kids per classroom. And they have the whole facility still there. So you've got this big facility plus this new facility. I don't quite understand that logic as a taxpayer and as a grandparent. And with Dobbins being as small as it is, it could be just like a little temporary high school for some of the kids in La Porte and Challenge that are coming down and having that tremendous long ride that we talked about earlier in 2006. Maybe that would keep them in school if they had a temporary high school there at Dobbins until they could build a new one and get new land or whatever. But it could be there just to service those kids that can't necessarily be supported to make that trip all the way down to Marysville. So those were my thoughts. I really love you guys. I think you're all trying to do the best you can. You work hard at it. And I know that sometimes you're not always going to agree on things. But I want to be here to support you. But I can't hardly support 17 students per classroom at Yuba Feather when we had 480 in the facility years ago. And now we've got 114. It just doesn't do the math. Thanks.
Thank you, Colleen. Buck Weckman.
Buck Weckman, Brownsville. Back in 1989, I became involved in the school system because it wasn't addressing some specific needs for my children. Okay. Unfortunately, I'm down here now, years and years later, with the same problem, only it's my grandchildren. And I want to mention a few names to you. It's Chuck Dilworth, Bob Wilkerson, Dean Miller, Coach Griffith, Mary Seawright. Okay. Some of you may not remember those names. Some of them probably have vague memory, but those were people in the school system that helped me raise my children, just some of them. And I really appreciate those people. That's the people I appreciate most that helped me raise my children. Well, part of raising my children is the Board of Trustees and what you do and what's your responsibility. And unfortunately, tonight, I listened to Linda School talk about their ESL program. And I don't know Linda School that much now. I don't have the statistics exactly in front of me. But I heard the same thing tonight from Linda School that I heard 20 years ago. Our goal is to have our ESL students proficient by the time they reach middle school. Why are we even talking about that being a goal? I've always said the school system is good at identifying the problem and presenting ways to solve the problem, but there's just no accountability in solving the problem, because we're still talking about the same things that happened 20 years ago, or were going on 20 years ago. So that's the Board of Trustees' job, is hold the district accountable for what they do. I'm somewhat encouraged in a recent election where a non-findable or non-identifiable candidate beat out one of your long-term trustees. So that's probably a little indication is maybe the public is waking up a little bit about what we need to do. We don't need rubber stampers. We don't need people that just smile and say everything's okay when it's not. So I've been looking at some things that have been going on in the last few years, or many years, since I left here at about, 99 or 2000 that was happening. And I see some problems where the trustees start identifying with the system versus the people they serve, the community. And that's not always the students, it's the community as a whole. Sometimes what's good for students, they don't like. And sometimes you have to do that. But there was a couple of things that has concerned me, and it didn't take me much research to look at finding out that, you know, we're turning away people on the independent school program. Why would we want to do that when it makes money and there's more and more people that want to teach their own children and they want to do that? Probably the biggest disappointment was your handling of the charter school in Oregon House. I guess it's called the Yes Academy. And let me make myself clear here. I have no students there. I don't anticipate any. I have no children there, or grandchildren, or nieces, or whatever they're going there, and I don't anticipate any will. But this is a repeat of the same thing that I heard 20 years ago, the system trying to protect itself. The people of those communities voted with their feet. Over 100 students go to that charter academy, whereas only 55 go to Dobbins. So rather than meeting the system that the charter schools was designed to do, promote competition, so the public school system would improve and people would vote with their feet and go to the public system, the district has decided to, well, let's just eliminate the competition. Well, what's going to happen is they'll go to the county. The county will take over their charter, and you're still going to have them, and you will lose all those students then and the ADA that comes with them. So that was a mistake, a huge mistake, a disservice to the people you represent, the community. And I guess the other thing that I wanted to say, I know you've limited us to 3 minutes, that's something new, okay, and I'm not sure why, but that's okay, is that I had several rules as superintendent. Okay, and you know, one of them is you never solely rely on what's not superintendent, but as a trustee, excuse me. You don't solely rely on what staff tells you, because they're going to tell you what they want to tell you, and not what you should hear. So you need to get out and talk to people in the field, teachers and staff. Talk to the Mary Seawrights, the Chuck Dillwiss, and find out what is really going on, what's best for the students, before you make your decisions. This charter school was a huge mistake, and you'll end up paying for it in the long run. And I guess the other thing I had to say is that I'm glad to see that four of you had the courage to take on this crazy attitude within our school system on how much we pay our administrators. Another rule I had as a trustee was that, generally speaking, educators don't make good administrators. It's not always the case, but generally speaking, they just don't have the genes to make those tough decisions that are necessary and to continue to serve their constituents, the public, not the system. So I would suggest, with the current friction going on between yourself and the superintendent over the raise or no raise, is that you just terminate her contract and hire somebody from outside the educational system at one-third less in salary, and the year's pay that you'll have to give her you'll soon recoup in starting to correct this craziness with the salary system that we're now encumbered in our school system. So I thank you for your time. Good luck. I hope 20 years from now somebody else isn't speaking to you reiterating the same problems that they heard now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Buck. Those were the only two comment cards. Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you. This evening, I do see Mrs. Stiegel in the back, but I will go ahead and make the request on behalf of the Academic Decathlon. They have requested an overnight field trip to Fort Bragg, April 19th through 21st. That's a Friday through Sunday. And unfortunately, they missed the deadline for this meeting, and by the time we have our next meeting, they will have already hopefully been able to take the trip. So again, I'm going to ask if the board has any issues with Mrs. Stiegel taking 10 students with 3 approved chaperones to McCarricker State Park and Fort Bragg. They will be reflecting on this year's progress, successes, and areas for improvement, and they'll also be setting goals, discussing planning, recruiting strategies for next year's competition. They also have a little extra science and history lesson that's going to be taking place by going to some tide pools and some historical area landmarks. And so, as I said, because of the timing and the fact that we only have one meeting in April, it does fall after their trip. So can I just see a nod of heads from board members if they're okay with allowing the Academic Decathlon to go on their trip?
They don't plan any fishing trips, right?
Absolutely not, unless they invite you.
If they did, I'd want to go.
Okay. Well, I think you have a fourth chaperone. Okay.
No, I can't cook.
I think it's great, and I'm glad you're going. I hope the board, it's unanimous, huh?
Yes, it is. I've only seen heads nodding up and down, so.
Have a good time.
And, you know, although it sounds like a lot of fun, she works those kids really, really hard. And it absolutely shows. So it's a great team building, and it's rich with education. So, okay. And then last, I left a little card by your place for a couple of proposed early start meetings, one on April 23rd, another June 25th. And so if you could check your schedules and see if those will work for you. If they don't, let me know. Otherwise, or let Lisa know. Otherwise, I will assume those work for you. She'll send you lots of reminders as well, but I wanted to put them down here for you in person. So, and that would be the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. We'll move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of March 12th, 2013. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second by Mr. Danable? And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent agenda?
Yes. Could I have item number 3 in personnel services?
Personnel services number 3. Anybody want anything else pulled? If not, is there a motion on the consent agenda?
Motion to approve consent.
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
7, 6 yes, 1 abstention. Okay, we're going to move back to personnel services number 3, Mr. Crawford.
I had that pulled because you might notice a name there. That's my daughter. And ironically, she got her pink slip 2 weeks after, and she turned to page 2, and she noticed on a 5-2 vote that I voted to have her. She interpreted it as, never mind.
Okay, so under the personnel services on the consent agenda number 3, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Abstentions? 1 Mr. Crawford abstains. And that is the last item on the agenda. We would like to close the meeting in honor of Toya Rain Wilson, who is a staff member out of Cedar Lane that recently passed away. So with that, the meeting's adjourned.